Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, hello. This is a different program than what we've done in the past. And so about 2 weeks ago, I was walking my golden doodle, Barnabas, and the thought came to me, and I really feel like it was a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Why don't you and Robin go on and do a program where you just talk about the women that have inspired you, either the ones that we've researched or talked about, or women in our lives that have just said that word in season. I was just reading like an apple of gold in a silver pitcher. So is a word fitly spoken. And I know, Robin, we're friends and we've talked outside the program, just about these women. And one of the reasons we have this affection for women and why we want to talk about women worth knowing.
Exactly. And this is why, Cheryl, when you said in your text, let's just do a podcast episode or two where we just talk about the women that influenced us. And I had to think a minute, like, there are quite a few, but who would I talk about? And then my reply was like, you and I have no trouble talking about anything at any time, anywhere. Let's just go in studio and see what the how the Lord prompts. And that was the other thing. I said, let's pray about this.
Right.
Let's make sure that
right.
we're following the Lord's leading of these
Absolutely.
Are stories
yes.
that need to be told.
And you and I love telling the stories of others, but we have so many stories and places where God has met us personally. So I want to talk just beginning this with how Robin and I met. So we have a mutual friend
yes.
who's been on this program with us, Michelle Yuhl. But I actually did not know Michelle. She had gone to a couple of the events that I had had. I used to, and I will resurrect it at some point, do a conference for women called When Leaders Lead, based on Deborah's song.
And wasn't that
in Judges?
Marietta Hot Springs?
It was.
When the conference
It was.
Was.
And we don't
yeah.
have that venue.
I know, but what a yeah. sweet time that was.
It was. And so Michelle had come to it. And Michelle was one of our first listeners to Women Worth Knowing. And apparently she had written about 4 or 5 times. And she is a prolific writer, a
yes.
good writer,
yes.
too.
Yes.
And she had written by this time, I think it's the book on Oswald Chambers' wife.
Right.
And so I had read that book. Mm. And then Brian said, you know, this was sent to me, and I think you ought to read it. So he forwarded it to me. And sure enough, it was an email from Michelle. And she's like, this is my 5th and last time trying to get in touch with you. And I was like, where has this woman been all my life? So she just gave me these incredible suggestions for some women to do. And they were seriously, some of my favorite. One of hers was Catherine Bushnell.
Yes.
And that led to Josephine Butler, to these other women. And Josephine Butler is one of my favorite that I've ever done. Well, so is Catherine Bushnell. But as I began to correspond with her, she said, oh, I have this friend who's just moved to Southern California.
Another woman worth knowing
right.
who's actually still alive.
Right. Who from Hawaii. And do you mind if I include her? So then we started having these 3-person emails, which were so fun. And we started being friends. And then I remember I said, could I have your phone number? I'll just text you. Then we started texting.
Yep.
And I think it was me that said, why don't we get together? Because I think we were texting almost every day.
It was.
Yeah.
And you have no idea, Cheryl. I'm sure I've told you, but I just want to say it again. Like, that was so of the Lord, because the move here was so immediate and so
yeah.
difficult, and my
yeah.
husband's health was so precarious, and I was so lost, and we were empty of, we were void of friends. We had lots of family in the area, but most of those family members required some kind of care or attention.
Yes.
So it's different.
Yes, Ross's dad.
Yes.
For one.
And so I didn't have any space in my life to go to any Bible study or start anything that I could commit to and make a new friend. And you and I met at this little coffee shop on the peninsula. And
well, one thing about that, too, is I didn't know what you looked like. Now, years ago, we were supposed to meet in Vista.
Yes.
We have a mutual friend, Jackie Insminger, who kept saying to me, you have got to meet my friend Robin. I just know you're going to be friends. I just know you would be friends. And I was writing just a little bit then. And she's like, you've got to meet her. She wrote the Christy Miller series. And I would go to the bookstore in Vista every time a new Christy Miller book would come out to get it for my daughter, who was addicted, which is a good thing, my oldest daughter. And so I knew of you, right? And so I'd never met you. And then I had to Google you to see what you look like because I thought, how am I going to know her at this coffee shop? So I Googled you. So then I come in and you're standing, getting your coffee, and you're chatting with a girl who's at the register. And I'm standing behind you and I am so excited. So you could take it from there.
Well, what I remember about that was just this instant sense that, because I had looked up you as well, you know, I think all my pictures online are about 20 years old. But
right.
Cheryl, you look just like whatever the last picture was that was available to see online. And it was just like, oh, there you are, my friend.
Yes.
Hello.
I don't.
I remember we hugged. I know.
And we were so excited.
Immediate.
And the girl behind the register said, oh, are you best friends? And we said, no, this is our first time we've ever met. And she's like, what is going on? And I was able to tell her about Women Worth Knowing. And we both shared. And she's like, I'm a Christian. I want to listen to that. That sounds so incredible. And she's really a part of the age range that we want to reach because we want to tell girls in there, we want to inspire girls as young as, I don't know, five, all the way up, you know, especially in their 20s, that God has good plans, an exciting plan, and an adventure for them. And so that's one of the reasons we do this. We talk about women who just gave their all to Jesus and look what he's done.
And the sweet thing about our friendship, it was that I felt immediately as if we'd been at the same places at the same times. We knew a lot of the same people, but we had just never had a face-to-face conversation with each other.
Right.
And so it was kind of like just catching up. It was more like a reunion.
It really was. And we had to pull ourselves away.
Stop talking since.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, I think it was just a month or 2 months later that my first co-host, Jasmine Allnut, who's like amazing.
Yes.
Actually, she's kind of, I don't want to insult her, but she's kind of a little me. You know, I just feel like she's a younger version of me. And sorry, Jasmine. But I mean that as a compliment. But what happened is she took a post teaching church history at a college in Montana.
Which was ideal for knowledge in that woman.
Yes, she's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And so I could just imagine every student falling in love with her because she's so passionate and fun. And so I needed a co-host if Women Worth Knowing was to continue. And I remember writing you saying, hi, how are you doing? Would you consider this? And I was elated when you said yes.
Well, Cheryl, do you remember? I took a screenshot of an entry I had come across in a journal that I had written, I don't know, seven or 8 years earlier.
Yes.
Way before we moved to California.
Right.
And I had just been praying and writing my journal. And I said, one day I would just love to be able to tell the stories of women of old who have had such an impact on my life simply by the way they trusted God. And I don't remember how I worded it exactly, but I was looking for something in a journal. I don't know how I came across that exact page, but then your email was, would you like to, you know, join me as a co-host? And I went and found that page, took a screenshot and said, yeah, I think the Lord prepared me like almost a decade ago, and I had no idea how that would come to be. And I mean, I love adding that part to our story because I think that the beauty with women who trust the Lord every step of the way, the Lord will nudge you. The Holy Spirit will give you a little dream, a little idea, a seed.
Or and prompting, I call it sometimes. Yes.
A prompting. And to record those or to just mark the moment and say, I can't make that happen. I don't know what that means. But, okay, I receive it. And it's kind of like when Gabriel appeared to Mary and she said, may it be unto me according to your word. Like, all right, whatever. This is unexpected. It's not maybe what I would have sought. But in that, there's such an affirmation. There was no hesitation, even with everything else going on in our lives right at that point. But it was like, yes, this is what the Lord is inviting me to do. And I can join him and join Cheryl in that work. And it's been such a blessing and a joy. We record in studio on Thursday mornings. And boy, those Thursday mornings when the alarm goes off and I pop up and it's like, oh, good, it's Thursday. And our engineer was even telling us today, because Cheryl and I hadn't been here for a couple of weeks for various reasons. And he was like, I missed you. Like, you guys brighten up the studio. You
He's
have to
the
come
best.
In. Even
He's
if you're
best.
Not going to record.
Shout out to Johnny.
Just come in on Thursday morning. So here we are. So we are so appreciative of the listeners that have let us know how much these episodes have encouraged you along the way, because we all are on that path, that journey of trusting God.
And, you know, too, growing up, we both grew up in Christian homes. Mm-hmm. We both have loved the Lord since we were young. And that's a rarity, too, to find somebody who's just really clung to Jesus and wanted to be, you know, like I was such a nerd in high school in that I didn't want to party. I had no appetite for parties. There was just no appetite, you know, and, you know, to go out with a non-Christian boy, there was no appetite. I mean, you know, you go to Calvary and there's a whole, you know, pool of great looking fish, you know,
it's like smorgasbord.
Exactly. I'm not interested in this, you know, because I wanted somebody, you know, I think we both had this. We had this person in our hearts that God had put in our hearts. Like, this is the person. And I know when I was in college, I wrote a list of the attributes that I wanted in the man that I would marry. And among those attributes was he had to serve. Don't ask me what. And, you know, of course, I married. You know, my mom would say, my mom found the list. And she said, I think I was about 20 and or 19. And she's like, I found this list in your closet. And I didn't even ask her what she was doing in my closet, because that was just my mom. You know, she just did things like that and you didn't question it. It was like she had a right. And so she said, no, I saw this list and I loved all of your requests, but I want to know about this one. Why a surfer?
That's so funny.
You know,
well, we do live in Southern California.
We do.
I'm there everywhere.
Yes.
I wrote letters to my future husband starting when I was about 14 or 15, and I kept them in a shoebox under my bed. And I don't think anyone ever looked under there or found them. And they were only about
your mother was not my mother.
Yes.
My mother would have read every single one. Yes.
But those were an opportunity to say, I'm whoever you are, wherever you are, I am praying for you that the Lord would draw you closer to his heart. And I know that the Lord's prompted me that my life will be in full-time ministry, whatever that is. So I'm praying that you'll get that vision soon, too, and that, you know, just to that the Lord would prepare him. And
that reminds me a little bit of Twyla Zudwig, who we did a couple weeks ago.
Yes, and love Twyla's story.
Oh, right, but it's the same thing, mm-hmm. that she had been praying and felt the call to go to Africa. And then when she married this man who just wanted to be a farmer, how she knew he was the one, but she knew she had to pray him into the right, you know, mindset.
I remember years ago at Urbana conference that's, you know, is it every 4 years still or is it every year now? I don't know. But it's a global missions conference. And I'm trying to remember. I think it was Helen Roosevelt. I'm not certain. It was that far. It was that long ago.
Yes.
If she was the one who said she went to wherever she went, far away, and prayed that God would prepare a man and bring him to her, because she wasn't going to take time off to go back home and try and find somebody. And she remained single her whole life. And she said, I do believe that God prompted a man and called him.
Gladys Aylward.
Was it Gladys?
It was Gladys Elwood.
I heard Gladys Elwood.
Yep.
I didn't even realize
that. My mom
at the
heard
time.
Gladys Elwood,
but
too.
The end of the story was that she said, I believe God called the man, prompted him, prepared him, and that man said no to God. I remember that part.
That was Gladys Elwood. Yep.
Yeah. And so it was like, that impacted me so much. It's like, I'm going to pray for my man right now. Lord, start preparing him. Don't let him say no to you.
That's right. I love that. You know, I had in my heart, like, there is that one, and I don't want to settle for second best. And I would hear the Lord saying, Cheryl, this is not the one. This is not my best. And I remember having been married to Brian, I don't know, like 5 years, sitting across the table from him at our anniversary and just all of a sudden going, you're the one. You're the one I waited for.
Ding, 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 ding.
You know, and he's
all
like,
the lights come on.
And I remember he said, well, I would hope so. I was like, you don't understand. This is earth shaking, shattering to me. You know, he's very calm. I'm not. And so.
Isn't that funny
that
how
reaction.
Opposites attract?
Yes.
For us and I, too.
Yes.
Oh. So what's your woman do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I was thinking about a particular incident. I mean, there are so many. I was limiting it down. But there's a woman. She's retired now. She used to be at Calvary. She was part of the prayer team on Monday mornings, and her name was Jerry Kamita. She lived across the street from the church. She had a testimony of how she got saved. And one of the things... with Jerry is I knew she was a woman of prayer. And for a time, I had a prayer meeting at my house, and she would come every once in a while. And every time she came, it was just, I loved it. And she told me one time, Cheryl, I know things that I don't talk about because the Lord tells me because I pray. And so I had an incident in my neighborhood where there was this boy who had told Braden he was going to do something very, very awful. I mean, it was bad. Mm. And so I went to the little girls whose mother, this boy was threatening to do something to. And I warned these mothers and just said, look, he said this to my youngest son. I want you to be on alert. So I'm having a prayer meeting, and that woman showed up at my house, the woman of the son, mm-hmm. the boy. And she said, I heard you are saying things, you know, how dare you? And she said, I wanted to invite you into my house, and I will never invite you to my house. You are not welcome in my house. You know, all this stuff. She was from the Middle East. So it did seem kind of threatening. And then after that, the boy said that he was going to find Braden, my youngest, who was short for his age, at some point and beat him up. And I was beside myself. We'd lived in the neighborhood maybe 3 months. And you're in a new neighborhood, and all of a sudden, everything is just crushed. And it was, I was so concerned about all of this. And I wanted to find her because it had happened. And I wanted to find her that evening at church and just have her pray for me. And this other really sweet woman came up and just, I kind of laid out the scenario, and she goes, you know, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And at the moment, that wasn't the scripture I wanted.
No, don't be lighthearted about this. I'm crushed.
Really, really, this is serious. This is my son. This is our new neighborhood we moved into. This is the woman right across the street. And so this older woman, Jerry, I told her all about it, and she's just the most tiny petite thing. So she had to reach up, and she took my hands in my face in her hands, and she said, look at me. And I looked at her, and she said, nothing touches you that doesn't come through the filter of God's love. And I started to say, oh, but she said, listen to me. Wow. Nothing touches you that doesn't come through the filter of God's love. And she said, Cheryl, good. This has come through the filter of God's love, which means he's working in this situation. Mm. So in the
meantime, he did it so such a tender way to calm your heart.
It was amazing. So in the meantime, I decided to get even with that neighbor for doing that to me.
Cheryl.
So every day I walked and I prayed for her. I would put my hand out and I prayed for her salvation. I prayed for her, for her sons, for her husband. I prayed for the whole family. Like, I drenched that house, whether I was driving by, and you had to drive by it and you had to walk by it to get out of our neighborhood. So she got prayer like 3 or 4 times a day at that whole house. So one day I'm having another prayer meeting. There's a knock on the door and it's her. And she said, hello. And I said, hello. And I kind of closed the door behind me because I didn't want the women to know what was going on in case she yelled at me. And she said, my son has something he wants to say to you. And he said, I'm sorry. Everything you said was true. And without thinking, I threw my arms around him and I said, today in my eyes, you're a man. It takes a man to apologize and to own up and to say he's sorry. I said, you're a man and I will respect and love you forever. Well done. Well done. And I back up and I look and she's smiling from ear to ear and she has her arms out. And I grabbed her and I said, and you are a woman of integrity.
Beautiful.
I can't believe what you've done. This means so much to me. I said, good for you. Good mommy. Good neighbor. And I just kept praising her. And she's like, yes, yes. And then she hugs me again. And we just kept hugging. And I remembered those words. Nothing touches you that doesn't come through the filter of God's love. Just a month or so later, a neighbor down the street led her to Jesus.
That's beautiful.
So, I mean, nothing touches us that doesn't come through the filter of God's love.
And how that prompted you to pray.
Prompted me to pray. You know, that's my way of vengeance. You're going to get a lot of prayer. So don't be mean to me just so you can get prayer, because it might be a little hard. But that was just
beautiful, Cheryl.
That really ministered to me. And I still remember that. You know, I've been through a lot of trials lately. And I still remember her little precious hands, you know, on my face. And me having to repeat after her, nothing touches me that doesn't come through the filter of God's love.
Beautiful. These are the stories that we need to hear, because it role models for us how we should be responding as women of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that in, we've talked about Corrie Ten Boom a number of times because of the impact she had in her last years living here in Orange County and being at Calvary Chapel often. When she had a message, she would just go to your dad and say,
she'd sit in the front row, and dad knew she wanted to come up. And
I'm here to share the message tonight,
that's
whether
right.
you think you're ready for me or not. But I worked at an organization in Orange that dealt with all of the donations that came in for 40 different Christian ministries. And one of them was the whatever Corrie Ten Boom's ministry was called at that time. I was only 19 or 20 at the time, and my job was to just type all day long. Type, type, type. Remember those old electric typewriters with the round ball that would click, 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 and you have the little like whiteout tape that you put in there for everything. And anyone who had written to Corrie, I was one of the people that would type the standard letters that would go back thanking them for their donation. And also Brother Andrew and Open Doors Ministry, the donations came in for them as well. So the year I was there was when the movie The Hiding Place came out. And Corrie came in to the office several times. One of the times was right when the movie had released, and it had been arranged for some local newspaper reporters to come in and interview her, and then we were going to all have a staff lunch with her. And we were familiar with her so that it wasn't a usual thing for her to come in. And so when she got there, there was a chair prepared, the chairs in a half circle for the reporters, and she was kind of like up on the front, right in the center of attention. And as they kept asking questions, it just seemed to elevate more and more. You, all those years in the concentration camp, and then your sister dying, and how you forgave the guard, and things that were brought out in the movie and in her books. But these reporters just like couldn't believe someone would live a life like that of trusting God. And there was just this one point, her tender little face just kind of changed. And she said, this crown you keep putting on my head is too heavy. end of interview. And she got up from the chair and she went in the lunchroom. And all the reporters were like, oh. And as a young woman and seeing that moment, here's a woman who's being idolized or being elevated beyond what she wanted, which was for Jesus to be victor and king. And that's Corrie ten Boom. That impact on my life lasted. We have more women we need
to talk about, Cheryl, so let's come back for another episode. And you know, I wanna explore that a little bit more too, because I wanna see how that impacted you. Because you know, Robin, your books, you've sold over 6 million books, so you don't want a heavy crown either. So let's talk about that when we come back. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Come back next week.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.